started this year, we were looking at things in us. You know, we talked about either things that had happened to us. We called them wounds. We had the absent father wound, the overly bonded the mother wound. We were talking about, we called them nature wounds, and then, or nurture wounds. And then we looked at our nature, our black heart. And that was a nature wound. And then the past few weeks, we've been kind of looking at theology in different parts of the Bible as relate to what being a man is all about. And starting today, we're going to start trying to take all that theory and put it into practice and look at what practical applications we can find to give ourselves what would be a biblical definition of manhood. Okay? And so today, we're going to start by really looking at the two different Adams. The first Adam that we've talked a lot about, and then the second Adam. So if you'll look there on your listing sheet, number one, the core contributions of men and women from history in the Scriptures. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And I want you to circle that word core. Everything we're talking about is a core of gender. Now, when I say core, it doesn't mean it's to be distinguished from the term comprehensive. So when we say that women are nurturers, that doesn't mean they can't do anything else, okay? I want to make sure that everybody understands that. It's not everything women do, but it's their core contribution. It's how they were created and the way that they give their best to society, their best to God. Now, I'm not suggesting that the proper place for a woman is only barefoot and pregnant and in the kitchen. That is not what we're saying. But what we are saying is, no matter who the woman is, no matter how accomplished she is, no matter how educated she is, she's going to want children. It's a part of her nature to be a nurturer. And feminism is discovering this now. You have all these ladies who are now hitting their 40s. They have given first place in their life to their careers. And now the biological clock is ticking. And some of them don't have a husband. Therefore, they're turning to artificial insemination and other things that might happen, or a friend with privileges to try to have a child. Okay? I have a first cousin who's kind of like this. She's a medical doctor. She had her first child when she was 40. You know, if you're going to school to be a doctor, you don't have time for children. Okay? And she and her husband, they started their family after she's 40. So when she's having her first child, my last child is graduating high school. Okay? She and I are the same age. I don't know about you, but when I turned 40, the last thing that I personally as a man wanted was a newborn in my house. But here, my cousin, who our big difference, we were raised much the same way. Our big difference is I'm a male, she's a female. Man, she was excited to have that newborn, proud to have that newborn, and felt blessed to have her. So that's a difference, okay? I'm going to correct Lee's definition there. Women are the nurturers of life, where that core contribution is honored, society's going to prosper. Now, I don't know how many of you know Andrew's grandmother who comes to church, Miss Edna Wilson. She reminds me a lot of my grandmother. And the way she is honored in Andrew's family reminds me a lot of how my grandmother was honored in my family. I remember as a young man, I don't remember at what age this started in me, but I never left a room that she was in without hugging her neck, telling her that I loved her, okay? And anytime I walked into a room she was in, the first thing I did was hug her neck and tell her I loved her, okay? I don't think it would be too too strong a word to say that she was revered in our family. She was honored for her contribution to the family. Everybody loved her. And everybody honored her. And so my concept of what this nurturer is to life comes from my grandmother Clanton. So in 1831, I don't know, have you guys ever heard of a man named Alex de Tocqueville? He was a Frenchman. He came over to America in 1831 to study our penal system. And when he got over here, he did much more than that. And he wrote a famous book about what made democracy in America work, basically. He was an early sociologist, we would say, I guess. But as he examined America's society, here's what he noticed about America's women in 1831. He said, "For my part, I have no hesitation in saying that although the American woman never leaves her domestic sphere and is in some respects very dependent within it, nowhere does she enjoy a higher station." And he saw what I saw lived in my family, how my grandmother was revered by us. Now, she never left the house. My grandmother couldn't drive. When my granddad died, she didn't know how to write a check. Wasn't that she was ignorant and couldn't write a check. She just didn't know. She never had had to. But she was honored in the family. So let's talk a little bit now. Is there a passage of scripture on there? Well, if you don't have your Bible, you need to look at Timothy there. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "But women will be preserved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith, love, and sanctity with self-restraint." Now, what is Paul talking about there? We've already looked at this. We looked at verse 13 and 14, if you remember, where Paul said that it was Adam who was first created and then Eve. We talked about that first mate mattered. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. And then Paul says for this, you know, he was talking about that's why he wouldn't let a woman teach over men or rule over men, okay? Well, I want us to look at this verse and zero in on that word that's translated persevered. That word means saved, okay? They're saved. How are they saved? What's that idea? It's talking about their fulfillment. Women will get their fulfillment. They will be saved. They will be preserved through the bearing of children. So that word there, that blank, should read fulfillment.
Fulfillment.
Yeah, fulfillment. So women are saved or preserved, persevered through, they're fulfilled through the bearing of children. And we see this in society. Few women don't want children. And women who are living together or who are now cohabitating with men, everyone I've ever talked to, if you got them alone, they weren't living together because they didn't want to get married. They were living with a guy because he didn't want to get married and they loved him. If he would have proposed, they would have said yes in a heartbeat. You know, I'm sure there are exceptions to that rule, but in my experience, I haven't found any. Now, who's the they in this verse? Through the bearing of children, if they continue in faith. Well, the they here is the children. It's the antecedent of this is the children will be. So this they is the children. Women are going to be saved through childbearing, and we see that in Genesis. But here Timothy is saying that we need to keep a certain social structure for the protection of or redemption of those original roles, okay? So that's what he's saying. A woman shall be preserved through the bearing of children, and the children, if they come to their life and they continue in faith and love and sanctity and self-restraint, then at the end of that woman's life, if she has borne children and those children have gone on and matured and grown up in the Lord and become God glorifiers, then those kind of children that are Christians, they're going to love her as they mature. And she, when she bears that kind of children, she's going to be preserved and fulfilled through them. Men are fulfilled through their work. You get three guys together after they stop talking about the weather. Pretty soon somebody's going to look at the other guy and say, "Hey, what you do? Well, I'm a mechanic. What do you do? Well, I'm a carpenter. What do you do? Well, I'm a salesman, okay? It doesn't take men very long to have that discussion. You get a group of women together and they start talking about their kids. It's who they are, okay? So the saved there means preserved or fulfilled, and the they is the children, and women will find their ultimate pleasure and fulfillment in this life by God's original design, and her life at the core is to be a nurturer. Number two there, women are happiest not when given position and power, but when the creative contributions of the maternal role are upheld. Margaret Mead, a well-known anthropologist and feminist, said that. And she's saying that as she has studied ancient cultures all over the world. Women are happiest, not when given position and power, but when the creative contributions of the maternal role are upheld. One of the things women look for in their husband, okay, is this ability to be involved in the family. And one of the number one complaints I get from ladies in marriage counseling is, he just works and he comes home and he sits down and he won't talk to anybody and he wants us to just leave him alone. Okay? What they're saying is he's not involved in what is the number one thing in my life. Okay? Now, let's talk about men. Men are the bearers of destiny. As men go, so goes society. Men are the bearers of destiny. Now, we learned that through Adam, the human race fell. So as men go, so goes the society. In Genesis there, number one, we learned that the man was created by God with a unique social and spiritual leadership in mind. Man was created with a unique social and spiritual leadership in mind.
Go.
As men go, so goes society. Now, what was this unique spiritual leadership role for? The man denied it, remember? When he is told by society that he doesn't have it, then there are going to be problems. So the idea here, the man was created by God with a unique social and spiritual leadership in mind. And when man doesn't fulfill that, when man doesn't live up to that, when man doesn't accept that role of being a leader socially and spiritually, you're going to have trouble in your society. And who are you going to have trouble with? The boys. The little teenage boys. Those tweeners and teens that we were talking about. That's when you start seeing this. Number two, defection from this leadership spells trouble, not just for the man, but for everyone. Now, we saw that in Isaiah 3 last week, how that when the society turns its leadership over to the youth or over to the women, that there's trouble. Then the society begins to perish, and that's one of the imminent things of society's fall, okay? Because as man goes, so goes society, we said. Now, what we're going to do, somebody give me a time check, because I know I was late.
6:38.
Okay, we need to stop. We'll pick up there next week on item two, because I know you guys got to go to work, and I was late, and I apologize for that. What I want you to see here, what we're doing, we're taking the theology now, we're turning it into practice, and we're going to start taking it home with us and start looking at how we can come up with a definition of manhood that we can live and fulfill, and just a little synopsis of what we're going to see in the two Adams. The first Adam is natural, and his role in society, his role in his leadership of his family led to problems, led to chaos, because he was thinking only about natural things. The second Adam, Christ, his leadership is different, and his is the type of leadership we need to aspire to in our homes and in our lives so that our children will not have the problems perhaps you did when they go up and look at those nature wounds and also so that society as a whole will be bettered, because unfortunately, the only boys that you are responsible today as Christian men in helping to raise aren't your own. There are a host of young, single moms who have boys who need a figure, a father figure in their lives who will point them in the right direction. So becoming a mentor to a young man is something we're going to talk a lot about, because remember, that was one of our wounds we talked about. And there are a lot of guys out there who need a surrogate grandfather, you know, a big brother, whatever you want to call it, someone to come alongside them and say, hey, here's what you need, boy. So we'll do that next week.